Chapter 15. Less than 10 minutes after I'd made my first hot chocolate, the once busy, bustling chocolate heart was empty. Not a single onlooker had lingered outside after the royal family departed with the rest of the customers. Even the Lord Mayor's woman spent scarcely 2 minutes longer in the chocolate house while her colleague popped his head into the kitchen, but didn't bother to step all the way inside. "Looks fine to me," he called back. "Well, what a marvellous relief." The Lord Mayor's woman gave us a vicious smile as she wrote out the certificate of inspection. She laid it on the closest table with a flourish. "What a triumph for you all to have had those terrible rumours disproved. I'll be certain to pass on your deepest thanks to the Lord Mayor." Silky's hand tightened on my shoulder, but it didn't need to. I only bared my teeth at the woman's taunts. I didn't even have it in me to snarl. I would have buried myself underneath the furthest mountain in the world if I could, and never shown my face in the outside air again. But at that moment, I couldn't have lifted myself up out of the chair for the promise of a whole cavern full of gold. I'd lost the battle to defend my own territory. There was no greater humiliation for a dragon. When the front door finally closed behind them with a clink, Silky let out a gusting breath. "Phew," she collapsed onto the chair across from me at the royal table, then leaned forward as something caught her eye. She lifted the closest cup, sniffed it, and took a tiny sip. Her eyes widened. "Well," she said, "may not be hot anymore, but it really is good chocolate." Laughter and rage bubbled up inside me until I could barely tell them apart. I wanted to burn up the city with flames shooting straight from my no longer armoured throat. I wanted to rip the world apart with the claws I didn't have. As Silky took another longer sip, the kitchen door swung open behind me. Hoarse voice came out as an anguished gasp. "What in heaven's name has happened here?" My heart sank. With a massive grinding effort, I turned my head. Marina stood behind Horst, her arms crossed and her face perfectly blank. Her gaze moved slowly across the empty tables and finally landed on me, sitting at the royal table with the three best chocolate cups and pots all laid out in front of me. Suddenly, I could barely breathe. I'd seen that disappointment in my mother's eyes before, but I'd never ever seen it from Marina. Silky gave a laugh that grated against my ears. "Good news," she said wryly, and held up the certificate. "You've passed the Lord Mayor's inspection for cleanliness." "His what?" Horst shook his head, his face looking almost gaunt with panic. "We were gone for less than 20 minutes, he said. What could possibly have gone so badly wrong in that short time?" Silky snorted, lifting the chocolate cup to her lips and settling back against her chair. "Oh, do you want the full story or just the highlights? Which do you think would be better, adventuring?" "Yes, adventuring," for the first time Marina spoke, her voice flat and hard. "Why don't you tell us the story, please?" Her words made every inch of my back clench. I knew that tone of voice. How could I not? I'd heard it from my mother 100 times before as she prepared to find out exactly what I'd done wrong again. Mother had warned me that I wasn't as strong as I thought. She would have been horrified at the idea of leaving me to fight such an important battle for the chocolate house alone. She would never have trusted me to do it. Marina's head jerked round. "Wait a minute. What's that burning smell?" Without waiting for an answer, she lunged back through the swinging doors into the kitchen. The kitchen. Oh no, the chocolate tarts. I'd left them in the oven when I went charging out to confront the Lord Mayor's woman. How could I have forgotten about them? Horror rooted me to my seat as Horst hurried after her, the door swinging shut behind him. Marina's bellow sounded a moment later. "Just look at this mess, they're ruined!" "Uh-oh," Silky said, and hopped up out of her seat. "Better go and take a look." But I couldn't look at the mess I'd created. I couldn't do anything but sit, frozen in my seat, as Silky hurried after the others and voices rose beyond the swinging doors. What was the first thing Marina had ever said about me to Horst? No one important will be offended when I toss her out on her ear for being useless. I'd failed to defend the chocolate heart from attack. And now I'd failed as a chocolatier too. How much more useless could any apprentice be? The sound that escaped my lips as I realised that wasn't a word in any language. It wasn't even a moan. It was a sound of pain that came straight from my gut. And it made my decision for me, even before I saw the kitchen doors begin to swing open. "Adventure in," Marina bellowed. I thought that I couldn't move, but I'd been wrong. I ran out of the chocolate heart as if the worst predators on the earth were closing in behind me, and I had become the most cowardly of prey. Dragons never run away. I knew that. Dragons always stood and fought, no matter how bad the odds might be. But my family had been right about me after all. I wasn't strong, fierce, or patient enough to be trusted in the world outside. From the lessons that I'd ignored in my family's cavern to the moment when I'd fallen for that scoundrelly food major's trick, I'd failed in everything important that I tried. Now I'd failed in my own passion too, the one thing I was supposed to be best at, the only thing that I'd had left. And as soon as I stopped running, I would have to face what that meant. So I didn't stop running. I couldn't make myself stop, even when my chest started burning and my side felt as if my claw had slid inside it and was turning back and forth, skewering me with every movement. I didn't stop, even after the tears on my face had all been blown away by the cold wind that slapped against my cheeks. Running away wasn't brave, and it wasn't fierce, but it had to be better than sitting and waiting to be tossed out. I couldn't bear to have that happen again. Not this time, not by Marina. Not from the only chocolate house in Drakenberg that had given me a chance, and from the only family that I'd had left, after I'd lost my first one forever. A gurgling sound of pain escaped me, and I doubled over, gasping for breath and grabbing my legs through my dress. There were people moving all around me, but I didn't care. They could think what they liked of me. I'd already lost my teeth and claws and family, and now I'd lost my chocolate too. And every human I'd learned to care about would pay for my failure. It didn't matter that the chocolate heart had passed its inspection. Right now, gossip would be racing all around the city, human after human, excitedly passing on the news that the kitchen in the chocolate heart was so disgusting the Lord Mayor had been forced to shut it down. I wouldn't be surprised if by tomorrow every potential customer in town had heard what the King had said about it too. I suppose we now know why no one's ever allowed in the kitchens. None of them would ever hear what the actual results of the inspection had been, and none of them would ever care enough to find out. And I hadn't even... Aventurin, a woman's voice gasped my name. Oh my goodness, it is you, I can hardly believe it. I turned my head, a forest green skirt swished beside me. Dark green shoes peeked out from underneath. I wouldn't have bothered to look up to find out more, but the skirt suddenly rustled and its owner knelt down beside me, beaming and balancing a market basket on her knees. It's me, you silly girl, Greta. Oh, Greta. In all the excitement of the last week and a half, I'd nearly forgotten about her and her ridiculous abduction attempt. I certainly didn't have time for her now. Sighing, I looked back down, but I couldn't recapture my train of thought. Not with her chattering only inches from my ears, her pale, round face turning pink with excitement. I'm so glad to see you alive. You wouldn't believe it. Oh, the nightmares I've had of you falling into the river or being set upon by thieves or... Slowly, disbelievingly, I turned my head. How could I have fallen into a river? I asked. Surrounded by banks and all the bridges have rails. Well, I don't know. You might not have noticed it and just walked in. I stared at her. Well, you're not from around here, are you? You don't know how big cities work or what to do. And it was our responsibility to look after you, you know, since you would never have survived without us in the first place. Setting down her basket, which was full of fresh fruit and vegetables, Greta heaved a sigh that ruffled my hair. Oh, if I've said it to Friedrich once, I've said it 100 times. I've never seen any girl less capable of looking after herself than you. That did it. I let go of my legs and straightened to my full height. It wasn't hard to breathe, after all, or to summon up a good glare for the woman in front of me. Goodbye, I said as icily as Marina ever could, and I turned to leave. No, wait, she jumped up and grabbed my arm. Just look at you, that dress is hideous. Stones and bones. After 2 weeks of grinding cocoa nibs, it was easy to yank my arm free from her grip. Why doesn't anyone ever like my dress? And you look like you've been crying, Greta added. Humiliation froze me in place. I tightened my jaw and ground my words through my teeth. That was just the wind against my face. Oh, really? She put her hands on her hips. Then why exactly do you look so miserable? Me? I tried to laugh a barking, contemptuous laugh at the idea. The noise that came out of my mouth sounded horribly like a sob. I slammed my lips shut, but it was too late. I knew it, Greta said. I just knew you couldn't make it on your own in the city, a wild, careless, ignorant girl like you. She shook her head. Well, how could you? You're only a child. And you didn't know a single soul here except for us. You don't know how to behave or even how to dress. Just look at your eyes. They're like animals. Now, look at what a mess you've made of yourself. Your hair, your clothes. She waved her hand at my glorious purple and gold dress. No one wears colours like that together. Well, that part might actually have been true. I'd certainly never seen anyone else in Drakenberg dressed quite like me. Usually I liked that, but today it made a creeping cold feeling trickle over my shoulder blades. Would the Crown Princess have taken me more seriously if I'd been dressed more like everyone else? Greta tsked her teeth as she looked at me. And you really thought you could go to work in a chocolate house? As if any of those fine places would ever let you through their doors. I ground my teeth together as I glared back at her, the words burning in my throat. They did. For one brief, beautiful moment, I'd had everything I needed. I'd had my passion. I'd been surrounded by chocolate. I'd had a new home and a hoard, and I'd had Marina too. But as I looked into Greta's pitying face, I remembered the smell of burning tarts, and I knew she was right. Just like my family had been right about me too. I'd been given everything I could want in my new body. I'd lost it all through my own unforgivable weakness. I thought about the expression on Marina's face when she had seen me sitting at the abandoned royal table. And at that memory, the final tiny breath of flame inside me flickered and died out. That was what had happened when I tried to look after important things myself. Greta must have seen the defeat in my slumped shoulders. Oh dear, sighing, she patted my arm and reached down for her basket. I know you're a good girl really at heart. Now, why don't you just take this for me? That shouldn't require any manners or common sense, so even you should be able to manage it, dear. And at least you're strong, so that's something. We'll go home and have a nice cup of tea, and then I'll start showing you how to do everything around the house. We already have a room waiting for you, you know. I just knew somehow that you'd come back in the end. Because really, where else could you go? She smiled as she hooked the heavy basket around my unresisting arm. Oh, don't look so sad, adventuring. I promise you'll feel at home with us in no time. Soon you won't even remember this past week and a half. It'll be as if it never happened. Smoke would have billowed up from my throat at that in the old days. But I'd lost the right to defend myself today, and Greta wasn't wrong after all. I had nowhere else to go, so I followed her down the road, my throat as hard as a column of unground sugar, and I felt the truth all through my body. I didn't deserve to call myself a dragon anymore.